4 score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation,
conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure.
The voices of former Presidents Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush, collected by documentarian Ken Burns on this 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. There were so many of us learned as school children that established certain ideals for our union, a place where all men are created equal, a union that can long endure, a promise that those who fight and died to save the union shall not have died in vain, and their efforts shall have a new birth of freedom. But in 2013, are we a nation living up to these values? Drew Gilpin Faust is the president of Harvard University, a historian, and author of This Republic of Suffering, Death in the American Civil War. As she explains, the Gettysburg Address is more than a speech about the cost of a war. It's also a nod to a greater project the war was in service of.
He wants to tie the terrible loss and suffering that Gettysburg represented and that the war had represented up to that point. And he wants to take that loss and say, what does it mean? How can we somehow make this cost have a benefit? And so it's first about the project of finishing the war, of making sure that the work that these soldiers started is accomplished. But then he redefines that work. It's not simply the war itself. It's not going to be over when the war is won. Instead, it's this projection into the future of a dedication to a new birth of freedom, to a nation that is conceived in liberty and dedicated to a proposition understood in a new way. So it's a project for all of us as well as for those of the Civil War era.
I want to pause for just a minute on the moment where we are in the Civil War when President Lincoln delivers this speech.
Lincoln has had a hard time up to 1863. He has witnessed a lot of Southern victories. And so Lincoln is at a moment where he is being challenged, in a sense, to deliver, because time, in a sense, is running out for him. He's going to have to run for re-election in a year. He worries that the North will give up. So that is what the Battle of Gettysburg gave him, was a victory, an ability to begin to think more hopefully about how the war might turn out. And so now he's going to turn hope into dedicate, resolve. Those uses of shall, three uses of shall at the end of the address itself. It's about winning the war. It's about having a new birth of freedom. It's about making sure that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish. And those are the instructions, the imperatives that are inherent in this address, well beyond the kind of abstraction of a hope. He's now ready for a resolve.
So that's the immediate political moment. And you mentioned those uses of the word shall, this look beyond the immediate moment, looking forward, using the future tense. But he also seems to have such a sense of legacy as he's talking, as he's delivering this short address, talking about never forget what they did, talking about the ground being consecrated, this real look to an audience what feels like 150 years on.
That's caught up in part, I believe, with the Christian framework of this message, in that it's very powerfully about resurrecting the dead, about the immortality of a nation that is delivered through death. All of these are very Christian images.
So President Lincoln was speaking more to the thoughts of eternity and to this Christian Protestant audience of the time, not necessarily to us 150 years on looking at our government in Washington. But I wonder, as you read this, what does it make you think about in terms of our political system and our relationship now as citizens?
The Gettysburg Address, in my view, is in considerable part a challenge to the people of his time to carry out the unfinished work. And it's an immortal speech because it challenges all of us to make sure that everything that has been done to create this country, from the efforts of our forefathers that he refers to at the very beginning of the address, to the contributions of the soldiers he is honoring. All of those things have been contributed to give us what we have been left as the legacy of this country. And so it's now our responsibility to take up that work and give it to our descendants and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
And what do you think, 150 years on reading it, do you feel like we're stepping up or that we're letting Lincoln down?
Well, we've just seen the government shut down over its inability to agree. I also worry about statistics showing increasing American inequality. I also think in terms of the new birth of freedom, he was speaking here about emancipation, about the project of African-American freedom. That is a project that played out over a very long period of time after the Civil War, and there's still much to be addressed here.
So I hear you articulating some ways to take up some unfinished work.
Yes, unfinished work.
Drew Gilpin-Faust is a historian and the president of Harvard University. Thanks so much for joining us, President Faust.
Thank you.
And all this hour, we're collecting your comments on the Gettysburg Address. Do you think we're living up to its ideals? From one of you in Athens, Ohio, we need to stop caring about parties. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. What matters is your ideals, values, and what you strive to achieve. Lately, it seems as though it's a matter of one party against the other rather than everyone working to achieve what is best for the American people. And we'll leave you with the full Gettysburg Address. We all know the first few lines, hear them all the time, but the whole thing is worth pausing and taking a listen to. This version was recited in 1986 by Gregory Peck.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
I'm Anna Sale in for John Hockenberry. John's back tomorrow. This is The Takeaway.